What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
He must have gotten mad that he wasn't in the news cycle as much as he used to be. He wasn't getting the same amount of clicks that he used to get. It's true. He wasn't. I mean, he wasn't. I can tell you from this end of covering this case, the vibrato, or lack thereof, the era of Brian Koberger was coming to a fast end. And I think Brian Koberger realized that. And then Brian Koberger started believing his own bullshit from behind bars. Because he's going to get an evidentiary hearing. I know. The same sort of thing that Santa Claus DA promised the families and everybody that by accepting this plea that's really kind of shitty, requires him to admit nothing. I mean, he has to say he did it, but he has to tell you anything about it. And we're just going to kind of railroad this through without really getting everybody's true opinion on it. Because I know better. I'm Santa Claus. And it prevents you from going through the heartache of all this shit. Well, guess what? It's going to go through all of that shit. So the whole, let's just accept this plea and get it over with. Santa didn't see this one coming down the chimney. Talking about the... Local prosecutor, by the way, who I've affectionately called Santa Claus since the beginning. Why? Because he seems like he'd be a lovely person to have milk and cookies with and maybe a candy cane. Probably not the person I want prosecuting a quadruple homicide. Just saying it. Just saying. Not because Koberger didn't do it. Yeah, Koberger did it. But because I don't think he had the means to match Ann Taylor. But anyway, that's all said and done. Now, Koberger wants a new judge. He's got new attorneys, ones that work out of the mini mall. I don't know where they work out of, but it's kind of like a Better Call Saul type situation. And the state's going to have to figure out what to do here with this. This may absolutely go nowhere. This may end with the evidentiary hearing next year. But let's get into all of it. And please drop your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description. 2 days after Judge Stephen Hipler scheduled an evidentiary hearing for June 17th of 2027, mark your calendars. Great way to kick off this summer of 27. Hey, kids, where are we going? We're going to go to Brian Koberger's evidentiary hearing and stay at the La Quinta. We'll have breakfast at the Waffle House. I hope you're excited. Can you imagine the drawings that the kids are going to draw next year when they get back into school? Like, what'd you do on your summer vacation? Who's that strange-looking man? That's Brian Koberger. Why is he taking a selfie with his shirt off? Brian Koberger's new attorney filed to remove the judge entirely. Greg Rauch filed a motion on August 28th to disqualify Hipler from the post-conviction proceedings. and a separate motion to move the case out of Ada County. The man who pled guilty to four murders 13 months ago isn't just fighting his plea anymore. He's fighting the judge, the venue, and the calendar all at once, as if those are really even up for consideration. Nobody said you're getting a new trial, Brian. Let's not put the horse before the cart, shall we? Every motion filed since the hearing was scheduled tells you the same thing. Koberger's team doesn't think the facts alone get them where they need to go. The problem is, you already admitted to it. The disqualification motion rests on what Hippler said at sentencing. In July 25, before handing down four consecutive life sentences without parole, Hippler called Koberger a faceless coward and the worst of the worst. He looked at Koberger and asked, according to the motion, whether anyone really believed Koberger was capable of speaking the truth. He predicted that any explanation from Koberger would consist of self-serving and untruthful statements. Those aren't throwaway lines at the end of a sentencing. Those are a judge making forward-looking judgments about a defendant's credibility. And credibility is now the central question in the case. And surprise, surprise, Koberger's making self-serving and untruthful statements, exactly as predicted. The post-conviction proceeding is a bench trial, no jury. Hippler alone decides whether Koberger's plea stands or falls. In a jury trial, a judge's views can be checked by 12 people in the room. Here, the judge is the verdict. So Rausch's motion argues that the extraordinary coverage of those sentencing comments, adverse rulings, and the same judge assignment creates an impartiality problem that can't be ignored. Koberger is asking the man who called him a faceless coward to believe he was coerced into confessing. During the plea, or pre-plea proceedings, Koberger's original attorney told Hippler that they weren't ready for trial. They said discovery review and their investigation were unfinished. They warned that proceeding could lead to ineffective assistance of counsel claims, the exact claim Koberger is now making. Hippler rejected those warnings. According to the motion, the judge accused the defense of using the volume of discovery as a delay tactic. Rausch is now arguing that Hippler has already heard and dismissed the argument at the center of Koberger's petition. The venue motion adds a second front. Koberger's criminal trial was moved from Latah County to Ada County in 2024 to ensure an impartial jury pool and adequate courtroom resources, but there's no jury anymore. Rausch argues the entire rationale for that move collapses in a bench proceeding where a single judge weighs the evidence. The concerns were about jurors, not judges, and the judge is now the only person in the room who matters. Hippler hasn't ruled on either motion. If he grants the disqualification, the case goes to a different judge, and a different judge would need time to get up to speed. If he denies it, Rausch has grounds for appeal. Either way, the motions slow the process down, and time is something Koberger's team needs. None of that changes the math. Even if Koberger got a different judge in a different courthouse, he'd face the same standard. Post-sentencing plea withdrawal requires showing manifest injustice, a constitutional violation so egregious and serious that the conviction, it just can't stand. This does not appear to be that. And this is a civil proceeding. Koberger has to make the case. The state gets to sit there. Koberger's petition accuses his former attorneys, Ann Taylor, Elisa Massoth, and Vika Varlow, of coercing him into a false confession. He claims that they told him his plea did not need to be truthful. He claims they promised immediate contact visits, freedom of movement, and employment in prison. He claims they told what he called elaborate lies about death row conditions to scare him into taking the deal. He also claims they withheld evidence he considers exculpatory, a hair found in Ethan Chapin's hand that was excluded as Koberger's through physical analysis but never DNA tested. However, there's nothing in the evidence that says a physical hair. It says debris. The line hair came from a shitty book. So they're citing things from a book that aren't based on actual fact. They're basing what they're calling evidence in based on what the book called the evidence, not what the actual evidence collectors called the evidence. Every one of them runs headfirst into what Koberger told the court under oath. On July 2nd, 2025, Judge Hippler asked him directly, "Are you pleading guilty because you are guilty?" Koberger, surprise, said yes. He filed out, inundated, and signed a 9-page questionnaire. He confirmed he was entering the plea freely and voluntary and admitting to all elements of the crimes. It confirmed he understood he might not be able to withdraw the plea later and that no other promises had influenced his decision. He checked no next to whether any promises were made. Every page initialed, every question answered in his own hand. That questionnaire exists to make this moment nearly impossible. Courts treat a thorough plea colloquy as a wall. Criminal defense attorney David Gelman says he has never seen a post-sentencing plea reversal succeed. Daniel Medved, a law professor at Northeastern, called it a monumental uphill battle. And even if Koberger somehow won, the death penalty comes back on the table. And any jury seated for a new trial would learn that he already told a judge under oath that he committed the murders. His own sworn confession follows him into the courtroom. The court order doesn't care about any of that. The clock is already running. Koberger must disclose witnesses and expert reports by February 1st to 27. The state's rebuttal disclosures are due March 1st. Discovery must be completed by May 7th. A status conference is set for June 3rd. The evidentiary hearing follows on June 17th. Greg Rausch is the attorney responsible for meeting those deadlines. He was appointed on August 3rd to 26th through the public defender's alternate counsel division. The public defender's office couldn't take the case because they had a conflict from the original defense. As of his appointment, Rausch told reporters he hadn't read the petition, hadn't reviewed the case file, and hadn't spoken to Koberger. His first step was setting up a phone call, then a 300-mile drive south to the Idaho Maximum Security Institution in Kuna, just to meet the man he's supposed to be representing. 5 months before the first deadline, 10 months before the hearing, and a case file that cost taxpayers over $8 million to build. By February, Rausch needs an amended petition filed. The handwritten version Koberger sent from his cell is a starting point, not a legal argument, plus a witness list and expert reports ready for disclosure. Everything the defense intends to present at the June hearing has to be locked down by winter. At the June hearing, the people Koberger is accusing also get to talk back. That means Ann Taylor. People who were once defending him for years, despite the world going, "What are you doing?" Well, he's turned on them too. They get to talk without attorney-client privilege, meaning Lil Bri got rid of all that. So any crazy shit he said, which I'm sure he said a bit because he's so unaware of himself and what he puts out into the world and how other people receive it. Oh, I bet that's a treasure trove of shit. As he alleges ineffective assistance of counsel, which partially waives at attorney-client privilege. Taylor, Massoth, and Barlow could be called to testify under oath about what they told him, what they disclosed, and how the plea came together. The question the court would test is narrow. Did the attorney's performance fall below a reasonable standard? And did that deficiency cause Koberger to enter a plea he would have entered otherwise? These are the attorneys who fought for 2 years to keep Koberger alive. They challenged the DNA evidence, argued his autism diagnosis, floated the alternative suspect theory, and attacked the death penalty itself. They got him off death row. And now the man whose life they saved is accusing them of forcing him to lie. The Gonzalez family isn't waiting for any of this to play out. When Koberger filed the petition in July, the family posted on Facebook that he never cried wolf or claimed he was uninformed, pressured, or that there were issues with the discovery. During 2 years of pre-plea proceedings, 2 years of motions, hearings, and court appearances, he raised none of these claims, not the coercion, not the false promises, not the hidden evidence, until he was sitting in a cell serving life without parole. Steve Gonzalez told reporters after the hearing was scheduled, that the family isn't putting their hope in the petition being dismissed. They're prepared for whatever comes next. He told Good Morning America he welcomes a trial. The family says they're confident Koberger would get the death penalty. Cy Ray is a former Arizona homicide investigator who worked in digital forensic. Koberger's own defense team hired him as an expert before their plea. Many of the Probergers hang their hat on things Cy Ray has talked about. Cy Ray doesn't even think he's innocent. After the petition was filed, Ray went public not to back his former client, but to call for the death penalty. Ray told reporters that investigators missed incriminating cell phone geolocation data that, according to Ray, places Koberger near the house on multiple occasions before the murders. Ray said he is confident Koberger will be convicted if the case went to trial. Koberger's petition cited some of Ray's findings. Ray's response put the former defense attorneys under oath. The expert Koberger's own lawyers hired to build his defense is now saying publicly that if this case reopens, the evidence gets worse, not better. Three fights. Remove the judge, move the case, undo the plea. Every motion points in the same direction, away from the facts and towards the process. A new judge doesn't erase a 9-page questionnaire. A new venue doesn't unsay, yes, I'm guilty. The system is processing every motion exactly the way it's built to do. It just isn't built to do what Brian Koberger needs it to do. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Are we going to get there? Are we going to get to a new trial? Or just a trial? We haven't had a first one yet, really. Or will this just get him a handful of stories between now and then back to prison to wait for the broomstick gang to get close enough to Lil Bri with a sharp end. And there's something else I want to say there, but in the interest of not being demonetized, I'm going to skip it. I think you know where I'm going. Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack, YouTube. We'll continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Brian Koberger's new attorney, a New York criminal defense lawyer named Jason Goldman. He released a statement just the other day. He said the public should, in his words, simply caution against assuming that everything the public believes it knows about this case tells the complete story. Thank you, Saul Goodman. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I know you were assigned this. I'm not. I don't want to be mean. Is the donut place still open down the mini mall way from the practice? Or is that? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I actually should have a little empathy here for whoever has been given this task of defending or being the attorney for Brian Koberger, because he had a pretty solid ace in the hole, as best you're going to get when you take the lives of four people in Ann Taylor. But, you know, according to Brian, it wasn't up to snuff. So here we are. That is the play. That is where I hate to use this term because it's not a game. But it feels like Brian Koberger is treating the lives of these four souls that he took as a game. So when I say that's where the game is at, that's where the game is at. It means zero disrespect to these victims. But if this asshole is going to play this game, okay. Play the game. And the rest of the world will bring it back. And will beat you into the corner of the playground where you were as a child because you failed so miserably at being a human being amongst the rest of the children. And we'll keep you there. And then we'll put you in the well. And then we'll let the local wildlife come over and feast on what remains of your sorrowful existence, Brian Koberger. Inmate number whatever it is that I didn't have the time to give a shit to look up your cell number, which is now your current name. So that's the play. A man who pled guilty to killing four University of Idaho students now has a court-appointed legal team paid for by the public. And its spokesperson is telling that same public it doesn't understand. He said guilty four times in that courtroom, once for each name. But, don't look too closely at Lil Bry here and everything he's already admitted to. He's gone back into his room for a little bit and he came back out and said, you know what? Story's changed. So if we are simply being cautioned against assuming that everything the public believes it knows about this case tells the complete story, let's go through what the public knows about this case that tells the complete story. Let's go through the record, every documented, verified public record thing we know about Brian Koberger, and then Goldman can explain which part we got wrong. I think it seems like a reasonable task. Let's do it. Let's go through, and then we'll reach out and find out exactly what we got wrong. He grew up in Monroe County, Pennsylvania. He was bullied as a teenager for his weight. He wrote about depression when he was 16. By the time he graduated high school, he developed a nice heroin addiction. According to the neighbor's account and a book documenting the case, he broke into homes to fund it. Not shoplifting, not stealing from a cash register, breaking into houses. Intimately, people's personal spaces, he was not respecting in any way, shape, or form. He stole his sister's cell phone, went to a mall, sold it for $200 to buy drugs. His own father, Michael Koberger, called the police on his own son. He was arrested in 2014. That conviction was later expunged. He also was forced out of a security job for reasons that really haven't been made public, but I guess it's probably not too hard to guess why. That's the foundation, a teenage heroin addict who learned how to break into homes. That part matters later. So there's our foundation. And I get it, you're a defense attorney. You got to pitch this to the crowd and the ether and the world of, maybe there's more. I get it. And you get where we're coming from too. But anybody who's on the fence about Koberger, hearing your line and going, I don't know. I don't really know much about that case. Listen up, my friends. Listen up. Then he went to college. He earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from DeSales University in 2020 and a master's in criminal justice from the same school in 22. While he was there, he posted a survey on Reddit under the username criminology_student. He identified himself by his full name. The survey asked convicted criminals to describe the thoughts and feelings they experienced while committing their crimes. One question asked, why did you choose that victim? Another, what was the first move you made to accomplish your goal? Another, before making your move, how much or how did you approach the victim or target? The survey was approved by the university's Institutional Review Board. It was filed as academic research, and those are real questions that Brian Koberger wrote under his own name before he drove to the house in Moscow, Idaho. Seemingly, curiously similar questions he was very likely asking himself before committing the crimes. What do you guys feel when you do it? In the fall of 2022, he enrolled in Washington State University to pursue a PhD in criminology. His research focus was offender decision making. He wrote a class paper exploring the emotions tied to breaking into homes. More than 500 pages of Idaho State Police investigation documents, interviews with WSU students and faculty were released in August of 25. His peers described him as creepy, standoffish, and weird with an intense stare. According to those interviews, he asked a female staff member out and then followed her to the car. That encounter was reported to the WSU Office of Civil Rights. He would walk into offices where female graduate students were working and physically block the doorway. A faculty member told investigators she'd hear one of the women say, "I really need to get out of here," and she'd have to intercede so the student could leave. He asked in a classroom setting whether a woman wearing a low-cut shirt would be at fault if she were attacked. He made comments about what he called broken women. You know, there's a lot of things you might want to call the pro-burgers, the people that are really, despite all the evidence, and we're going to keep going down the list, that are still into him and really think he's innocent, writing him letters, "We believe you." You know what I would call those people? Those are your broken women. Those are truly broken women, without a doubt. Because I'd love to do a little experiment here. I'd love to get a pro-burger, somebody who thinks he didn't do it. And you know, let's put you in one of these settings that people have written so many complaints about with Koberger. Let's put you in a little office, a little cubicle with Brian for a day. You guys, chat it up. See how life goes. See what happens with you and Brian alone in a room together. No intervening. Nobody like, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't get so close to her." No, you and him in a room. See what happens. I suspect by the end of the day, there may be a couple crimes committed and you may have a different opinion of Brian Koberger. Just a wild guess. Just a wild guess. I love it. I love to see the people who are so head in the sand about Brian Koberger and somehow thinking he's just this Adonis behind the walls of prison. And he's so misunderstood and misguided and miscarried. Yeah. Let's put you in a cubicle together for a day. You're going to come out a different person. And it ain't going to be a heart-to-heart with Brian. If you haven't quite picked up the tea leaves yet, Brian doesn't appear capable of that. Brian appears capable of one thing, getting to what he wants by almost any means possible and by any sort of interpersonal humanistic way of reaching that doesn't seem to be a process that works in his brain. So we know what he wants. We know what he's into. We know the dark shit he seems to fantasize about. Again, cubicle, you, him, for a day. Remember, he didn't do anything. He's harmless. Let's see what happens. Let's just see. According to the investigation document, someone broke into a female graduate student's apartment that September or October, taking perfume and underwear. One faculty member told police that if Koberger received his PhD, he was the person they'd eventually hear was harassing and stalking his future students. Some of his peers told police they believed he was dangerous to women. That's a man that multiple people looked at and said something was wrong. Said it out loud to police to the university 10 miles away. Four college students were sleeping in a house that his phone had already visited 23 times. Goldman says we don't know the complete story. So far, the story seems pretty complete. Starting in July of 22, 4 months before the murders, Koberger's cell phone began pinging a tower near the victim's home. Prosecutor Bill Thompson said the plea hearing that the phone connected to that area approximately 23 times before 10 at night and 4 in the morning. He was driving a white 2015 Hyundai Elantra, the same car investigators later tracked on camera, heading to and from Moscow the night of the killings. On August 21st of 22, Moscow police pulled him over near the house during a traffic stop. He gave the officer his phone number, the same number investigators later used to trace every one of those late night visits. In March of 22, 8 months before the killings, he purchased a K-bar knife and sheath on Amazon. And on November 13th of 22, at approximately 4 in the morning, he entered 1112 King Road through the back sliding glass door. He killed Madison Mogan and Kaylee Gonzalez on the third floor. He killed Zana Kernodle and Ethan Chapin on the second. He left the knife sheath on the bed next to Mogan's body. A single source of male DNA on the button snap of that sheath was a statistical match to Brian Koberger. Surviving roommate Dylan Mortensen told police she heard crying that night and opened her bedroom door. She heard a man's voice say, "It's okay, I'm going to help you." Minutes later, she saw a figure dressed in all black with a mask and Koberger's signature bushy eyebrows walk past her while she stood frozen in the doorway. He looked at her and kept walking out the sliding glass door. His phone pinged near that house again approximately 9 that morning, 5 hours after the killings and hours before anyone called 911. He went back. After the killings, investigators found his car cleaned to what the prosecutor described as spotless. The compartments inside the car doors, the ones that always collect debris, they weren't only completely empty, they were disassembled. The car was taken apart. You know, like you do when you clean your car, take off the side panels. Literally disassembled. Not just a lot of cleaner, like taking it to the shop. A fellow student told police Koberger stopped bringing his cell phone to class after the murders. He appeared more disheveled. He never joined a single conversation about what happened 10 miles from the apartment. Another student called a police tip line after noticing he'd had bloody knuckles just after the killings. The morning after the murders, Koberger took a selfie in front of a shower and gave a thumbs up. Kaylee Gonzalez's father called it a trophy photo. The murder weapon has never been found. Investigators ran the DNA from the knife sheath through investigative genetic genealogy and traced it to Koberger's family. FBI agents went to his parents' home in Pennsylvania over the holidays and searched through the family's trash. They found a Q-tip with DNA belonging to Koberger's father, a paternal match to the profile from the sheath. On December 30th of 22, 6 weeks after the murders, they arrested Brian Koberger at that house. The public watched every step, and a legal team the public is now paying for says, "We don't know the full story." His trial was set to begin in August of 25. His defense team has spent more than 2 years, preparing for it. Then in late June, it changed course. Brian changed his mind. And now he says, "I don't like that I changed my mind." On July 2nd, 25, he sat in the Ada County Courthouse and greeted his defense team and his parents. Judge Hippler read each victim's name and asked how he pled. Koberger said guilty 4 times. The judge asked if he was pleading guilty because he was guilty. Koberger said yes. Asked if he'd been coerced or if anyone promised him anything in exchange for his plea. He said no both times. He said all of it freely under oath. 3 weeks later, given the chance to explain why he killed 4 people, Koberger said 3 words, "I respectfully decline." Judge Hippler called him a faceless coward and the worst of the worst. He questioned whether Koberger was even capable of speaking the truth. Then he sentenced him to 4 consecutive life sentences without parole, plus 10 years for burglary and $270,000 in fines. Koberger waived his right to appeal as part of the deal. Now, 1 year later, from a cell at the Idaho Maximum Security Institution, Koberger filed a handwritten petition claiming he'd been convinced to falsely confess. He blamed his own defense attorneys, Ann Taylor, Alyssa Massoth, and Beeka Barlow. He claimed they used false promises and blatant disinformation to pressure him into a plea deal he didn't mean. He offered no new evidence. His petition doesn't establish that any threats or broken promises were actually made. Prosecutors asked the judge to throw it out without a hearing. The judge gave him one anyway. And it's set for June 17th of 2027. So the man who said guilty under oath, who waived his appeal, who gave a thumbs up selfie the morning after killing 4 people, gets another day in court. The families get to do this again. Gee, how nice. And now Jason Goldman tells the public, "We don't know the complete story." The Gonzalez family already answered that. They called Koberger the mosquito you just can't seem to swat. And a narcissist. They said he never cried foul. Never claimed he was uninformed or pressured at the time of his plea. They said They believe fully in the evidence. Would have preferred a death penalty trial. They said Koberger got exactly what he asked for. A deal that spared his life, and now he hates that life now. Oh, surprise. Goldman is welcome to tell us what the public is missing. Four families already know the complete story. They've known it since November 13th of 2022. Maybe you, Mr. Goldman, don't know the complete story. But now you know the rest of the story. Some of you got that. And if you're new to this case, I encourage you, go through our archive. There are literally thousands of interviews and videos we've done about this case over the last however many years it's been now. If you want an education, we got it for you here on the channel. Just search Brian Koberger on our channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You'll find an education. You'll find probably one of the most extensive educations that exists on the topic. There's not more to this story. If there is, I'd love to hear it, but it needs to be based in reality. Oh, that's the thing that kind of gets a lot of people pretty quick. What about this? I'd love to hear it. There's a lot that I hear out there that can vary. I'd love to hear it. I love a good conspiracy. I do. I love a good conspiracy if there's one. And I'm sorry, not everything is one. In fact, most of the time, it's just really shitty human beings not wanting to be accountable for the horrible things they do. And Brian Koberger is really not a very sophisticated one. He's just really kind of a cockroach that did some really, really bad stuff, got a lot of attention. But when you look at it, this is not Ted Bundy. This is not Gacy. This is not, you know, one of the more infamous serial type killers out there. This is a petulant, just beyond teenager who never really grew out of maturity beyond an 8-year-old who had access to weapons in a vehicle. With so much pent-up aggression and rejection from women because he had no clue how to handle them or deal with any female in any sort of positive sense. That he let it all go on four students. Specifically, three women that he knew he couldn't have. And the man who did have one of them, who loved one of them dearly. Probably would have spent the rest of his life with her. He had to destroy him too because he wasn't him. That's how much hate, that's how much pent-up aggression that this disgusting little incel has. And again, I welcome any of you broken people out there, women, men, whoever thinks that this man didn't do it, spend a day in the cell with him. See how it goes. Walk out a changed person. Or walk out convinced that he has nothing to do with this. I suspect you might be walking out with a different opinion and possibly charges to levy against him. Just a wild guess. Now it's like going to the zoo. Isn't that a cute tiger? I'd love to go in there. He can't harm anybody. Look at him. I've seen so many coloring books with tigers. They're just lovely, cuddly creatures. Yeah, they're great. Go in there. See what happens. Have fun. We'll live stream it. What do you say? Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack, YouTube. Press subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Take us with you. The link, the QR code is there for Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take us along. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including Live Dealer, Blackjack, and Craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.